Another edition of the Unfiltered Podcast, part of the Santa Mirta Podcast Network. I'm your host here. Some people call me Ben. I also write an online column about Santa Cruz, California called The Weekly Dump that I publish every Thursday over on www.santamirta.com that a lot of people seem to both love and hate. And if you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to check it out for yourself and make up your own mind to see what you think. So the big news and hot topic around town this week was the initiation of a recall effort against both Drew Glover and Chris Crone, current city council members for the city of Santa Cruz. There's been a lot of talk about this for some time. When Crone was elected, there was talk about it. When Glover got elected, there was talk about it. And talk is cheap and easy, and recalls or anything but cheap and easy. But this week, motivated people in the community put their money and time where their mouth is and filed the necessary paperwork with the city of Santa Cruz to begin the actual process. So things are about to get really interesting around Santa Cruz, as if they weren't already weird enough. Today I want to talk about what's involved here. What's the procedure for recalling a Santa Cruz city council member? I doubt many people know the process. I had to look up the details myself. Needless to say, it's very specific and detailed. So according to the state's website, and this is a quote, recall is the power of the voters to remove elected officials before their terms expire. It has been a fundamental part of our governmental system since 1911, and has been used by voters to express their dissatisfaction with their elected representatives. Unquote. I think that sums it up. I think that pretty much sums up why people are doing this. Dissatisfaction. So recall proceedings may not be commenced against an officer of a city, county, special district, school district, community college district, or county board of education if, one, the officer has not held office during the current term for more than 90 days. 2. A recall election has been determined in the officer's favor within the last 6 months. Or 3. The officer's term ends within 6 months or less. Obviously, both Crone and Glover meet these restrictions, so they are available to recall. The first step in the recall process is to file what is called a, quote, notice of intention. The notice of intention must contain 4 things. The name and title of the person sought to be recalled, a short statement of the reasons for the recall, and in this section, a reason must be provided, but under Article 2, Section 14A of the California Constitution, the sufficiency of this reason is not reviewable. So nobody can say that's not a good enough reason. Also included, the printed name, signature, and residence address of each proponent of the recall. The number of proponents that sign the notice of intention must be at least 10 or equal to the number of signatures required to be filed on the nomination paper of the officer sought to be recalled, whichever is greater. I think locally, the actual number required in the initial filing of the notice of intention is 20. I think that's what the two different groups that submitted paperwork this past week, that's what they submitted, was 20 signatures, or maybe a few more than that. And it also needs to inquire the text of Elections Code Section 11023, which describes how the officer sought to be recalled may file an answer. So The stuff that I just mentioned, this has been done for both Crone and Glover. At least two different groups have submitted this information to the city so far. In addition, a copy of the notice of intention must be served by personal delivery or by certified mail on the person sought to be recalled. In addition, the original of the notice of intention, along with an affidavit of the time and manner of service, must be filed with the local elections official within 7 days of being served. A separate notice of intention must be filed for each officer sought to be recalled. So basically, both Crone and Glover need to be served papers that they are being recalled. I have witnesses who have told me this has already happened. Apparently, Glover was hard to track down, since he seemingly has no permanent residence right now. So I heard he was served at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, and Crone was served with notice at his home. So I've been told. A copy of the notice of intention, including addresses and signatures, must be published at the proponent's expense at least once in a newspaper of general circulation. The proponents must file proof of publication at the same time that they file two blank copies of the proposed recall petition with the local elections official. Proof of publication is obtained from the newspaper publisher after the notice of intention appears in print. So this is like the equivalent of filing a fictitious business name in the local paper. I'm not sure if this has been done yet, but it will likely happen this week if it hasn't. Check the classifieds of the Good Times. That's probably where it will show up. Within 7 days after the filing of the notice of intention, the person sought to be recalled may file with the Secretary of State an answer of not more than 200 words. The answer must be signed and accompanied by the printed name and business or residence address of the officer sought to be recalled. If an answer is filed, the officer must, within 7 days after the filing of the notice of intention, serve a copy of the answer by personal delivery or by certified mail on one of the proponents named in the notice. So basically it's saying Crone and Glover have a chance to give a response, and that response needs to be sent to at least one of the people that, one of the original signatures on the notice of intention. After all that process and paperwork, the next step in the recall process for local officials requires the proponents to prepare the actual recall petition for circulation. And this is very particular. The Secretary of State is required to provide a format for the petition, and the recall petition format prepared by the Secretary of State is mandatory and must be used. Non-complying petition forms will be rejected as invalid. So obviously, this needs to be done correctly, or you run the risk of wasting time and signatures. So this is a really critical step in this process to get the actual petition set up, designed, right. Because if you start collecting names and the format is wrong, you've wasted all those names. Each signer of the petition must personally place his or her own information on the petition and must personally sign it, unless prevented by disability. So you can't just send out a postcard asking people to sign it and send it back. It needs to have a witness, and the witness needs to be the person collecting the information, and that person ultimately signs off on the fact that he witnessed all of these people sign. So it's a very particular process that doesn't allow shortcuts. The number of signatures required will be determined by a percentage of the number of registered voters who participated in the last election. I don't have that exact number handy, but based on the state's parameters, the percentage will be about 15%, but could be as high as 20%. The population for the city is about 70,000 people. Not all are registered to vote, obviously. So let's say we have 50,000 registered voters in the city of Santa Cruz. That would require 7,500 signatures. So that gives you an idea of the number required. It's in that range. And you'll want to have a cushion and buffer, so that's the low benchmark. The goal would be to collect about 9,000 signatures. That should cover it and be enough to get it on the ballot. And proponents will likely have about 120 days, or 4 months, to collect enough signatures. So I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, we'll talk a little more about what I think happens here. Be right back. Okay, I'm back, and I was talking about the recall petition that was initiated this week against Santa Cruz City Council members Drew Glover and Chris Crone. We're still in the very early stages of all this. I have no idea how all this will ultimately play out. I know one thing. If you don't try, it will definitely fail. Trying and failing here is better than doing nothing. And there should be repercussions for your actions. And that's really what this is all about. It's not about skin color. Justin Cummings isn't being recalled. It's not about hating progressives. Sandy Brown isn't being recalled. It's about being accountable for your actions. Accountable to everyone in the community, not just the people you choose to self-identify with. And ultimately, it's the community at large that will determine their fate here. I have no personal ill will towards either Crone or Glover. I really don't know either one personally. And none of this is personal. It's a reflection of their performance as a city council member. It's as simple as that. There have been numerous red flags involving both of these people for some time. So here's something to consider. In the last election, Glover ended up with just under 11,000 votes, which is about 14% of the total. That means 85% of the voters did not vote for him. 85% of the voters didn't vote for him. In a recall, the benchmark for success is 50% plus one vote. Simple majority. 14% is just not going to cut it here. If organizers can get the number of required signatures, there's a pretty strong chance that the effort will be successful at the ballot. But this is the hard part now. Getting the signatures will require work grunt work at a grassroots level. But it can be done if the will is there. I'm not leading the charge here. Like I said, there's at least two groups who are actively organizing and submitting official paperwork. But I do support both of their efforts, and I'll continue to support them however I can. So time for another quick break. When I come back, I'll talk a little dump. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. So coming up in the next weekly dump, we'll be talking about that crazy carjacking of a Parks and Rec vehicle over in De La Viega Park, which ended after the suspected thief crashed the vehicle and was trapped inside as it caught on fire. Thankfully, fire and SCPD were able to extract the guy before he burned to death, but he was still flown over the hill to a trauma center for his injuries. And there was some kind of a domestic disturbance near Bear Creek Road involving at least one person who took a hatchet to the head. That person also got flown over the hill to a trauma center. And Sunday morning, SCPD was involved in some kind of car chase near Seabright and Windham. They managed to pull the guy over and surrounded him with other SCPD units before finally arresting him. Life is certainly never boring in and around Santa Cruz. And it's only going to get more interesting as this recall goes on. So that's going to do it for me this week. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Be sure to check out the weekly dump over on santamirita.com. And you can listen to all the previous unfiltered podcasts on SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, and Google Play. And I also set up a new podcast page on the Santa Mirita website with all of the archive podcasts. So I'll be back next week with more unfiltered news and views from Santa Cruz. Don't forget, we get what we're willing to tolerate. Adios.